Sean Patrick Maloney is the Democrat of New York's 18th district. Some say 19th because he's taken on adopting the 19th because it's represented by Representative John Faso, who has not conducted town meetings. Anyway, we talked about that before. But what I want to talk about today is that you recently delivered a post-mortem report on the 2016 election to Democrats. I'm thinking about that a lot lately. What were some of the key points that you made?
Well, look, this is an internal document, so I'm not going to give you the secret sauce, Alan. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I got
give
asked
us a hint.
By the I'll tell you some stuff. I got asked by the leadership to do this, and I was happy to do it. You know, we spent several months just looking at what happened last year. A lot of us thought, obviously, it could have gone a lot better, and we wanted to understand it. And you know what we found in a nutshell. Is and there's a lot of details that I can't share with you, but in a nutshell, I think we missed Donald Trump coming and going. I think we missed how popular he was in certain parts of the country where previously Democrats had done pretty well, particularly in rural areas. And we also missed in some ways how offensive he was for Republican voters in the suburbs. We have seen in places like Georgia 6, where John Ossoff and the other Democrats in that open primary just got 49% of the vote and may win in round two, we have seen Democrats there and in Kansas and in other places doing significantly better among Mitt Romney voters than we used to. And this is a function of a lot of, you know, folks in the suburbs, particularly, you know, college-educated folks in areas that may be a little more diverse and a little less rural, saying there's something about this president they don't really like. And that's all I'm saying is that, look, Democrats need to speak from our hearts, and we need to stand up for what we believe in, and we need to start offering a positive vision of the future, fighting passionately against things like this terrible health care bill, fighting against these terrible ideas like a Muslim ban and the rest. But we need to be aware that Donald Trump has been very popular in certain areas where we used to do better, and he's even less popular than we thought in places where we actually used to struggle. And that just means the battlefield's changing. There are new opportunities and new challenges. We have to compete everywhere, in 50 states, in every corner of the country, and we shouldn't give up an inch. I represent a rural district, so I believe in this passionately. We can win in rural areas. We should not be deserting, you know, what we call red states. That's nonsense. But we need to be aware of the terrain and the challenges, which are now harder in some places than they used to be, but we have great new opportunities too, and you're going to see that. That's why Scott Garrett lost his race in New Jersey. Also had a great candidate there, Josh Gottheimer, who's doing a great job. It's why you're seeing people like Stephanie Murphy beat that guy John Mica down in Florida last year. Great race, great candidate, but a changing district. And Ileana Ross-Leighton, who retired in Miami, you know, I will predict to you a Democrat's going to take that seat. And Daryl Issa almost lost his race out in California, won it by a point or so when nobody thought he was going to be in a serious fight. His district is different than it used to be, and they don't like Donald Trump. So we have opportunities if we're smart enough to see them, and if we're passionate enough to hold on to the places where we're struggling, we can win again.
Okay, so I hate to do this to you because I know that you've served the Clintons very well and you've worked with them. But now there does seem to be some evidence that Hillary Clinton wants to run again. What do you think?
Oh, I have no idea, and I'll leave that to her. I mean, I think that she should make that decision.
Well,
would
it be bad for the party? I mean, you know, she got a lot of criticism for not being a good candidate.
Let me tell you what I believe in. I believe that there ought to be a real debate. We shouldn't have a coronation. We shouldn't try to rig it or fix it. We should let everybody stand on the stage and have an equal shot. What I think is that Democratic voters out there want somebody who speaks from the heart. They don't want somebody who speaks like, you know, everything scripted or canned. They want somebody who's willing to take the fight to the other side, but who can also go into, you know, rural districts where we've been struggling and say, you know, we have an agenda for you too. You're part of our vision of America. This is not red states and blue states, and we hope we edge you by a couple of points. That model is broken. I think if Trump showed anything, he showed that there's real possibility for someone to speak to everyone about what we have in common and what we're struggling with in the working and middle class. And that's what I want to see my party do. If Hillary Clinton wants to stand on a stage and do this again, God bless her, and compete with a bunch of folks who are doing that, you know, she's got every right to do it. I think you'll see new voices and new leaders emerge And I'm excited about that.
You got any off the top of your head? Mine is Chris Murphy.
Well, look, I know Chris is looking at it. I think he's a great. I think he's a great member of the Senate. You know, I'll let it sort itself out. It's still early. I think people ought to get a break from, you know, people running for president, at least for a few months every 4 years. But not now. I've got enough to do in the two congressional districts I'm looking out for.
Okay. Well, real quickly, we've got about 3.5 minutes. The potential for a government shutdown, you know, Trump and some of his aides have defended that and said, well, you know, that's good for the system every once in a while. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what they said. So
what the president said was that maybe we'll have a good shutdown in September, which, of course, is a silly thing to say. There's no such thing as a good shutdown. It's like having a good breakdown in your car. But the reason he said it is because he actually, you know, pretty much left the field on the budget we just passed for the rest of the fiscal year, which means, you know, instead of, you know, eviscerating the EPA and destroying the National Institutes of Health and destroying the State Department and you know, going after Big Bird and all the stupid stuff they had in the budget they put out, we actually, within the budget agreement and within, like, a sensible set of budget caps, we funded our military a little more, which we needed to do, and we also funded things like the National Institutes of Health with $2 billion to keep doing research on things like cancer and things like these emerging diseases like Zika and the rest. So it's a pretty good budget, and you're not going to see the kind of cuts that they were pushing, at least not till fiscal year 18. Now, if they want to shut down the government, you know, they could do it. They run both houses of Congress, so it'd be kind of a funny thing to do when you're running both houses of Congress to shut down the government. I mean, who do they think is going to be blamed for that? I mean, who do they think is doing this?
There are people who say, oh, well, nothing really happens. People get paid anyway. There's no real harm. To which you say?
To which I say, I ran around to keep the tower open at Dutchess County Airport during the last shutdown. And we worried about things like, you know, whether people were going to get screwed up who are trying to go about their daily lives and get the benefits they've earned, you know, veterans and people who are struggling with Social Security and Medicare. I mean, look, government doesn't work well enough as it is. You know, the last thing we need to do is shut it down and screw it up anymore. And if these guys are going to run both houses of Congress and the White House, then you know what? They ought to be able to run a lemonade stand, and they ought to stop pointing fingers and get to work. And if getting to work means talking to some people who disagree with you, well, you know what? That's what I do all day long. You know, I'm in a part of the state where most of the people I work with are Republicans, and that's good because it means that I've got to be reasonable and I've got to be listening to people. And I've made my bones being a bipartisan member of Congress. This president is only going to succeed if he starts governing from the center and listening to everybody.
We've been talking to our friend, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District, who has adopted the 19th District also, and he's been in office since 2013. Sean Patrick Maloney, always a pleasure to have you here, and always great when you speak your mind. I so appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Alan, and believe me, I am happy to give the 19th Congressional District back to Congressman John Faso as soon as he wants to do a town hall. I've got enough on my plate down here in the 18th.